Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament prophet Daniel. And you can find Daniel by, if you can find Ezekiel, which is a large book, Daniel is going to come right after the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter number 9 tonight, Daniel chapter number 9. All right. Well, I want to continue this thing on the rapture. There's a lot of people today who teach, and it's very common, by the way. It really gained a lot of steam back in the 90s, and that is they teach that the body of Christ is going to have to endure, some say part, some say all, of the tribulation time period. That time period we talked about last Wednesday night, where God's going to pour out His wrath on the earth, and there's going to be unprecedented time of destruction on the earth. And they say that the church will have to go through either part or all of the tribulation described in Matthew 24, which we talked about last week, and also it's described in detail in the book of Revelation. Now, one of the primary reasons for people believing that, one of the primary reasons I believe, it's a lack of understanding concerning what God's doing today in the formation of the church, the body of Christ. And so in the lesson tonight, I want to examine the prophecy of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 concerning the 70 weeks of Israel in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And I think as we examine this tonight, it's going to help us understand why the church, the body of Christ, will not be involved in the tribulation time period. I didn't get a chart. I want you to have a chart. I don't want to take your chart. All right. I'll take Larry's chart. All right. So I think it'll help us to understand this. Now, I'm going to give you 4 points tonight, and again, you can, if you're a computer type person, you can go on the web and get these tomorrow. But if you want to write them down, you can. But really, there's 4 points from this text that I want you to see. And number one is this, and I don't want this to get confusing. I'm going to really try to make this as simple as I can, and that's why I put a chart in your hand to kind of help you see it. A picture's worth 1,000 words, and so I kind of want you to be able to see it. But the first point is this, 70 weeks of years are determined upon Israel. Now let's look at the passage here. Look at Daniel 9, verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So let's just kind of stop there. Now that prophecy is pretty clear. 70 weeks are determined upon Daniel's people. Question, who were Daniel's people? Nation of Israel. Yeah, that's right, he was a Jew. So 70 weeks are determined on thy people, Daniel, on Israel. And the next phrase in that verse clears up any doubt about that when look at it with me. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. In Scripture, what's designated as the holy city? Jerusalem. So there are, stay with me, 70 weeks determined upon a physical people and a physical earthly city, Jerusalem. Now, let's talk a minute about the word weeks. If you look up the word weeks in a concordance, you'll find that the word weeks there just means sevens, okay? So 70 sevens, okay, 70 weeks or 70 sevens, and in the concordance it said specifically years. 70 weeks or 70 sevens of years are determined on Israel and on the holy city. Now, let's do the math. If each week represents not 7 days, but 7 years, because that's what the word means. Weeks means sevens, or specifically sevens of years. So if you take 70 and you got 70 weeks of years, how many years is that? That's right. It's simple math. You take 70 times 7, 70 times 7, because each week represents 7 years. So 70 times 7 is what? 490, right. So you look at the context of the passage, and it's very clear that the prophet is referring to 70 weeks of years, not 70 weeks of days. Okay, he's not talking about 490 days. He's talking about 490 years. 70 weeks equals 490 years. So in their prophetic program, in Israel's prophetic program, God says there's 490 years determined until he said he's going to seal up the vision of the prophecies. In other words, he's going to bring it all to a climax. It's going to all come to a head, he tells Daniel, in 490 years. Okay? If you look at the bottom of your handout, and I'll bring the chart up behind me too, the Daniel 70 weeks chart. If you look at the bottom there, it says of your chart, 70 weeks are determined on Daniel's people, Israel, and the holy city, Jerusalem. So what's going to happen at the end of the 490 years according to the prophecy? We'll look at verse 24. Let's look at it again. 70 weeks, so 490 years, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So, okay, determined to do what? To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So what's going to happen at the culmination of those 490 years? Well, he says that Israel or Jerusalem, after those 490 years, can we get, is there a map back there, a chart for him? He just came in. Can y'all get him a chart? You got one? Okay, good. So at the end of the 490 years, Israel, now stay with me, Israel nor Jerusalem will ever be transgressed again. He's going to finish the transgression. Nobody will be able to defile the holy city again. Nobody will be able to ever sin against it again. Nobody will ever be able to trod underfoot Jerusalem ever again. Not only that, he says at the end of the 490 years, there'll be a full reconciliation for iniquity. In other words, Israel's going to be fully forgiven of all their sins and their rebellion, and they are going to be reconciled to God. He says in this verse, there's going to be a bringing in of everlasting righteousness to Jerusalem. How long is everlasting? Somebody tell me, how long? It's forever. Now, how can God bring everlasting righteousness to a city like Jerusalem that we know is really one of the center of the world's contention and problems? How can God bring in everlasting righteousness? Well, the key is the end of the verse. Look at the end of verse 24. What's going to be the key to bringing in everlasting righteousness? What's the last thing in verse 24 say? Going to anoint the most holy. Who's the most holy? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ. So the most holy, Jesus Christ, is going to be anointed as king at the end of the 490 years. That's why there's everlasting righteousness, because the righteous one, the righteous king, is going to return and he's going to bring in with him everlasting righteousness. Now, what is this whole thing? Keep your bookmarker here and go over to the book of Ezekiel right before Daniel. Just go back to Ezekiel 36. It's the book right before Daniel. And go back to Ezekiel 36. What we have here is we have a fulfillment of the new covenant that God promised that he would one day put into effect with the nation of Israel. Look with me at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, and I would recommend that if you're a note taker and if you really like to use your Bible as a kind of a tool, then, you know, you got some blank pages usually at the front of your Bible. You ought to write in the front of your Bible somewhere, either now or later, you ought to put New Covenant to Israel, and you ought to write down this passage about the New Covenant. I'm going to give you another good one too. And look with me at Ezekiel 36, verse 16. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Verse 22, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the new covenant that God made with the nation of Israel that he said he was going to make. Now, go back with me right before Ezekiel to the book of Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah 31, and you ought to write this also if you're taking notes. New covenant. So we got Ezekiel 36, and now we got Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Look at it with me. Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. I'm going to read down through here, probably around verse 37. Look at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a what? New covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will, what's the next phrase say? Forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, whom the ways thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinance depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, which it can't, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, which he can't, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they've done, saith the Lord. In other words, he's saying there is that this is going to happen, okay? Nothing's going to cause me to break this covenant that I have made with them. That new covenant is reconfirmed. If you want to jot this down, we're not going to go to it and read it because it basically says the exact same thing as Jeremiah. God reconfirms that covenant with the Hebrew people in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews 8, 8 through 13. Hebrews 8, 8 through 13. Okay, so look up here. We're done with the first point. Here it is. Here's my point. Okay, 490 years, and God said, I'm going to bring the whole prophetic program to a head. It's going to climax with the anointing of the Most Holy, and I'm going to wrap things up, Daniel, in 490 years. Okay, now let's go back to Daniel 9, and let me give you the second point of this. Okay, here we go. You ready? 70 weeks of years, the 490 years, are said to begin with a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So the 490 years, the 70 weeks, are said to begin with a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Look at verse 25. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. Now, when did that happen? Well, if you remember, we studied the book of Nehemiah last year, king, the Persian king Artaxerxes, made a decree in Nehemiah 2 that Nehemiah could lead a rebuilding project in Jerusalem. Now careful, don't confuse this decree from the one King Cyrus made in Ezra 1. King Cyrus made a decree concerning the rebuilding of the temple. This was before Nehemiah. But the decree to rebuild Jerusalem came with King Artaxerxes in 445 B.C. So in 445 B.C., before Christ, 445, King Artaxerxes kicks off the first of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. Now, he says there in verse 25, he says, let's see. The street shall be built again. Look at the end of the verse. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. In the first 49 years or 7 weeks, the city would be rebuilt, including the street and the wall. Now, remember, Daniel's getting this prophecy while he's in captivity in Babylon. Okay, so he's getting this prophecy, and here's what we got so far. I'm done with the first 2 points. I've only got four, so stay with me, okay? We said, number one, 70 weeks of years. How many years is that? 490 are determined upon what nation? What city? Good, you're getting it. Okay, now, number two, when did the 70 weeks, boom, when did the prophetic clock begin ticking? What was it that was going to kick it off? It was the decree to restore and rebuild what? Jerusalem. King Artaxerxes, 445 B.C. Okay, now, let me give you the third point tonight. We're just blowing right through this, all right? Number three, and by the way, that's if you look at the chart here, let me grab my pointer over here. If you look at your chart, you'll notice here, okay, 70 weeks are determined down at the bottom. Then over here, 69 weeks of years, 483 years, the decree, well, actually, we're going to get to that next. The decree to rebuild Jerusalem right here on the far left, this is what kicks off the prophetic program, this prophecy of Daniel, okay? All right, let's go to the third point. The third point is this. After 69 weeks, now how many weeks were there? 70 weeks. How many years? 490. So 69 of the 70 would be how many years? It got weaker on that. It's simple math, okay, folks? 490 minus 1 week or 7 years is what? 483. All right, good. We got it. All right. Now, here's the prophecy. This is number three. After 69 weeks or 483 years, Messiah would be cut off. Look down at verse 26. It says, and after 62 weeks, okay, 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. You say, wait a minute. 3 score, that's 62. Okay, but then there's 7 up there in verse 25. So there's 7 weeks in which Jerusalem's rebuilt. Then 62 weeks later, Messiah is cut off. That equals a biblical time period of 483 years. So you got 7 weeks in verse 25, okay? Then you add to that 62 weeks in verse 26, and that gives you 69 weeks of years, or if you look up here, 483 years. It's on your chart right there. 69 weeks of years or 483 years. What did Daniel say would happen at the end of 69 weeks? What would happen? Messiah would be cut off. Now, it's interesting when you do the math. King Artaxerxes made the decree in 445 B.C. If you take that out, the 483 years, do you know what time period that takes you to? Go over to Luke 19. I'll show you right where it takes you to. Keep your bookmarker here. Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. And it takes you exactly to the time in which Jesus Christ, in this chapter, enters Jerusalem, and he presents himself as Israel's Messiah. In verses 28 through 44 here, he presents himself as Israel's Messiah. In verse 39, if you look at it with me, it says, "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." So the remnant, the small little flock, they're just praising him as he enters Jerusalem. They know who he is. They know he's the Messiah. So they're giving him the praise he deserves. The Pharisees say, "Rebuke thy disciples." And in verse 40, he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Woo! Does that kind of give you chills a little bit? It does me. And the leadership of Israel refuses to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Messiah. In verse 41, Jesus proceeds to weep over Jerusalem. It says in verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it." He wept over it, saying, "If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee about, and keep thee on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou," look at this, "because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus weeps over Jerusalem because they are oblivious to the fact, except for a small flock. By and large, the nation is oblivious to the fact that this day was the time of their visitation. This was Israel's decision day. But as a nation, they made a choice. They made a choice to cut off their Messiah, which culminated a few days after this in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So you've got the 490 years. God said, "I'm going to wrap it all up, Daniel, 490 years. He said, but in 483 years of those 490, at the end of 483, Messiah here is going to be cut off. Well, just like Daniel prophesied, Messiah was cut off after 69 weeks of years. But wait a minute. Daniel was told that how many weeks were determined upon Israel? 70. And after 70 weeks, Messiah would bring in everlasting righteousness, and the transgression of Israel and Jerusalem would be finished. We're also told this, if you'll go back to Daniel. Let's keep reading through the text here. And let's read verse 26. Let's read that whole verse, because we didn't finish it. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come." Now notice the prince. I wonder who that is. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary," the temple. "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." Verse 27 says, "And he," that prince, "he shall confirm the covenant with many for" how long? 1 week, 7 years. He's going to confirm this covenant, this pact, okay? This agreement for 7 years. "And in the midst," that word "midst" means middle, "in the middle," in the midst of the week, so at 3.5 years, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation," that just means offering. He's going to cause the sacrifice and the offering in that temple to cease. "And for the overspreading of abominations," that means filthiness and idolatry, "for the overspreading of abominations, he," the prince, "shall make it desolate." That means stunning devastation. He is going to make it totally desolate, just devastate it, even until the consummation, until the completion of it. "And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Total ruin is what that means, total ruin. And so let me real quickly explain this. 70 weeks, he said, after 490 years, Messiah is going to bring in everlasting righteousness. and the transgression of Israel and Jerusalem would be finished. But then we're told that during the 70th week, that last and final week, a prince is going to come. He's going to make a 7-year covenant with many. But at the midpoint, at the 3.5-year point of the 7 years, he's going to bring an end to the temple worship, and he's going to commit great abominations, filthiness, and idolatry. He will eventually, within the 7-year period, completely destroy Jerusalem and the temple. He'll bring complete desolation and ruin to it. None of those events in verse 27 happened after the cross of Calvary. None of those things happened in the 7-year period after the cross. So you got Messiah cut off, then you would expect, okay, the next 7 years, we're going to see all this fulfilled. It never happened. Nor did Christ return, nor did Christ get anointed in Jerusalem as the most holy, nor did he bring in everlasting righteousness to Jerusalem or make an end of sins in Israel. So my question is, what happened to the 70th week? I mean, everything just clicked right along with the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, and to the letter, we've got 483 years and the visitation day and Israel's rejection of the Messiah. They cut him off. Everything just click, 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 click. The prophetic time clock's going along. Everything's going as planned. And then Messiah's cut off. Well, what happened to the 70th week? And that's my fourth point. Is that, don't worry, I'm not going to say come back next week and we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it right now, okay? This is my final point, and that's this. The 70th week of Daniel still awaits its fulfillment. The 70th week, that last 7 years, still awaits its fulfillment. Now, we've been studying this out, and I'm hoping that this is just going to really resonate with you as I say this, because you've been listening. That's what we hope, right? That you've been catching what we've been doing 2 weeks ago in Psalm 2, okay, about the prophetic program all in one little psalm, and last Wednesday night, Matthew 24, and what we talked about Sunday night, with Paul's gospel. I'm hoping now that this is going to all come together for you. Now look up here. After Israel, right here, when they cut off their Messiah, here's the deal. God's wrath was supposed to come on the nation of Israel. You see, Christ, the rejected Messiah, the rejected King, would ascend to heaven, the Bible says. And there he would begin to make his enemies his footstool, by opening up the seal judgments that would kick off that 70th week. You say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Seal judgment. If you read Revelation 5 and 6, you'll find that Christ is in heaven. And he's the only one worthy to take this book and open it up and these seals. And he begins to open up this book and take these seals from the book. And you find out that these seals are judgments. And God begins pouring out wrath and he begins pouring out judgment on the earth. And so Christ ascends and he begins to make his enemies his footstool by opening up these seal judgments, kicking off that 70th week. Now that was the prophesied program in Psalm 2. Remember when we studied that? Remember that when they rejected God's anointed, remember what was going to happen? God was going to sit in heaven and was going to laugh because he said, I'm going to have you in derision. I'm going to speak unto you in my wrath. And he said, I'm going to vex you in my sore displeasure. And God said, then, when I'm done vexing you in my sore displeasure, he said, then he's going to say to Christ, hey, here, take the heathen for thine inheritance. Take the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And Christ comes with a rod of iron, and he destroys those kingdoms, and he warns the leaders of the earth. Remember Psalm 2 when we studied all that? Shake your head and act like you remember. Okay. That was what was going to happen, see? But now look up here. Instead of bringing that wrath, Christ suddenly appears to the ringleader of Israel's rebellion, Saul of Tarsus, and just saves him in sheer grace. Then, here the prophetic program calls for wrath. Christ makes another appearance from heaven. After he's already ascended, he's at the right. He comes back, makes another appearance to this guy named Saul of Tarsus, who's the ringleader of the rebellion, saves him in sheer grace, and then reveals to that man, who we know as the Apostle Paul, the mystery that he said he kept secret from the foundation of the world. And it was the secret that there will be an unprecedented time here of grace for the world. Now look up here. This time of grace, right here in your chart, this grace period would fall in between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. So instead of the wrath coming in the 70th week of Daniel, just carrying right on, God said, I'm going to give the world a grace period. That ought to solicit an amen right there. And during this time, right here, during this time, God would form a new creation. He would form a new man, as the Bible says, a new organism called the church, the body of Christ. And he would call it the dispensation of grace. Ephesians 3:2, Colossians 1, 25 and 26. So we're living in a grace time period right here. We're living in a grace time period in between Daniel 69th and 70th week. It was now Daniel didn't get that here because it was a secret that was hidden in God. Daniel sees all 70 weeks just right in order. And that's the way you see it in Psalm 2. And that's the way you see it. You see that just rolling right through. But hidden in God was this mystery time period, this period of grace, that God knew he was going to form this new organism called the body of Christ, but didn't tell anybody what he was going to do until he revealed it to Paul. Daniel's 70th week, that you see, we're living in this time period right here between the 69th and the 70th week. And the prophetic program for Israel, that 490-year program, has been temporarily postponed. It's been suspended. And the prophetic, picture the prophetic time clock right here. Picture a clock. And right here with the decree, that clock just begins ticking. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. And it's just going right along, going right along, going right along, going. And then Messiah's cut off. And there you got the 483 years. But then God stops the prophetic time clock, pours his grace upon this world for almost 2,000 years in between this 69th and this 70th week. Now, Daniel's 70th week, right here, who is it determined upon? What nation? He's told Daniel it's determined upon thy people and upon thy what? Remember? Holy city. It's determined on Israel and on the city of Jerusalem. The body of Christ is not in the first 69 weeks. It's not revealed till way over here with Paul. The body of Christ couldn't begin until the cross, and it's not revealed until Paul. And you say, well, how do you know it couldn't start until the cross? Isn't it back there in the Gospels? Of course not. The body of Christ, the Bible says that he took Jew and Gentile. He brought them together in one new man by the cross, Ephesians 2 says. There was no way that the one new man, that new organism, could begin to be formed until the blood was shed and until Christ offered up that cross work there on Calvary. So was the body of Christ in the first 69 weeks, yes or no? No. And so why in the world would the body of Christ be over here in the 70th week, which is determined on Israel? God's program for it, it's the prophetic program. We're not in the prophetic program. The prophetic program has stopped. It's been halted. It's been suspended. The time clock stopped. We're living in the time of the mystery, not prophecy. Prophecy means it's been made known. We're living in a time period that wasn't made known. It was hid. It's the mystery. So Daniel's 70th week, that last 7 years, let me ask you something, Bible study folks here tonight, and I just appreciate a full house here tonight, but let me ask you something tonight. Will that 70th week occur, yes or no? Yes. Sure. And is God going to have his witnesses in that time period? Yes. Absolutely. If you go sometime, if you want to read over in Revelation 7, you find that God, at the beginning of the 7 years, the beginning of the week, He seals 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe of the nation of Israel. He seals them so that the judgments of the tribulation can't harm them. And the Antichrist can't get to them. And so you got these 144, you got this little flock, this remnant, and you've also got two witnesses over in Revelation 11 that are also going to be testified. God's going to have witnesses in that time period. And Israel is going to literally take the gospel of the kingdom, that thing that, hey, Messiah's coming. Hey, the kingdom's at hand. They're going to pick right up preaching what Christ preached to Israel. Repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. Kingdom of heaven's coming. And they're going to start preaching it again. And the Bible says that gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24, says it's going to go throughout the entire world before He comes back. That little flock's literally going to evangelize, and they're going to take the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24 says, the gospel of the kingdom, that gospel, that good news, will be taken throughout the world in that last week. And God will complete the prophetic program. He's not going to leave it hanging. Okay? Don't you hate to be left hanging? You know, Denise and I, we hardly ever watch TV or anything like that. And there was an old Western on. Real, real old one. And I like old Westerns, and it was Saturday, and we were kind of laying around. I don't remember where the kids were. I don't know if they were at a party or what, but there was this old Western on, and we're watching it. We kind of got into it, and we had to go get the kids or something. We had to leave, and I said, well, I'll hit the record button, and then we'll see how it ends. There's about 30 minutes, so we'll see how it ends when we get home. And so we got home. Now, there may have been, maybe there was an hour or two, I don't remember, but when we got home, I had that thing in a record mode to where it was like long, it was like this, you know, you didn't get much for your tape, you know what I'm saying? And so we're all into it, and it was about like 20 minutes from finishing, and all of a sudden it starts rewinding. And we're like, okay, well, I guess we'll never know how that ended. You know, it just kind of left us hanging out there. And you know, the prophetic program's going along like that, clicking away, and then all of a sudden, whoop, God stops the prophetic time clock. But here's the deal. Even though it may look like God's left it hanging, He has not left it hanging. Hey, has God forgotten what He said He was going to do to Daniel? He didn't forget this. He didn't forget that He said He's going to finish the transgression in Jerusalem. That He's going to make an end of sins for Israel. That He's going to make reconciliation for their iniquity. That He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness to that city. And that He's going to seal up, finish that vision, that prophecy. And that He's going to one day anoint the most holy there. God didn't forget about that. You say, well, why hadn't He done it? One word, folks, grace. He's still pouring out His grace on this world. But look up here and I'm done. Prior to that 70 weeks, prior to the 70th week kicking off, prior to that, this dispensation, this time of mystery, will be brought to a close by an event called the what? The rapture, the catching up of the body, and the body of Christ will be caught up, and that new organism that God's formed in this mystery time period will be caught up and will take our place and will fulfill God's purpose for us in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. Okay? Y'all got it? Amen. Well, three of you got it anyway. No, seriously, did y'all understand that tonight? Did you get it? I hope that I was able to take kind of a deep and kind of doctrinal type thing. I was hope I was able to take it and really explain it in a way that you can grab it and understand it. And that's why I gave you the chart, so you can take that home, restudy it, and study Daniel 9 with the chart. And like I said, the notes will be online tomorrow also if you want to grab those. And the audio if you want to re-listen to that, okay? thank you so much for coming. Next week, we're going to continue this thing on the rapture. And I'm going to begin a three-part Bible study series next Wednesday night called The Rapture and the Little Boy Who Cried Wolf. That's the name of the Bible study. The Rapture and the Little Boy Who Cried Wolf. And we're going to talk about these guys that get on TV and try to tell you that the rapture is going to be anytime. The rapture's got to happen. The rapture's got to occur in the next 7 years, or it's got to occur in the next 10 years, or it's got to occur next year. You know, and we're gonna talk about that thing of how these guys for years have been like the little boy who cried wolf, and we're gonna talk about why they do that. What mistakes do they make that lead them to get people all frenzied up and, all keyed up about that. And then they end up, it doesn't happen, and we just kind of, go on. Well, why is that? Where are they missing out? Why is it they got all this beautiful stuff laid out of why the rapture has to occur before the year 2000? Or like one guy said, he wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur in 1988. Well, I hope it didn't, because I'm still here, and so we're going to talk about that next week, and I hope that you'll be back, and I think you'll find it very interesting. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.